All right, everybody, welcome back to the Intel Report. I'm Scott Horton filling in for John Statmiller. He's still nursing his wounds from when his motorcycle beat him up. But that's all right, because I'm here, and I got plenty of news for you, and your calls, too. The number here is 800-313-9443. That's 1-800-313-9443, if anybody wants to get involved on the air. And I got tons of bad news, as always, so don't worry about that. Let's go ahead and start with this guy, Judge Roberts, who has been nominated by George Bush to sit on the Supreme Court in Sandra Day O'Connor's spot. And I guess we should all be glad that Alberto Gonzalez was not the nominee, although when Rehnquist steps down, I'm sure one of the people already on the court will probably be named to replace him as Chief Justice. But then there will still be an open spot, and I think that the chance that Alberto Gonzalez, the author of, well, an overseer of the torture memos and author of some of them himself, there's a very good chance that he could end up sitting on the Supreme Court. Hell, they made him Attorney General. Why not? But this guy, Judge Roberts, basically the only news about this guy that you can find on the news is that nobody knows anything about him. This just in, nobody knows anything about this judge. And then they talk about that for 10 minutes, about how they don't know anything about him. Well, fortunately for me, I got this newfangled internet World Wide Web do wacky thing where all I got to do is type in some keywords and see what I can see. And lucky for me, Amy Goodman over at Democracy Now! Has the goods on Judge Roberts. And this kills me. Okay, this guy, Judge Roberts, is a federal appeals court judge. And he sat on a 3-judge panel that it was up to them to decide 2 questions. One, can Bush call somebody an enemy combatant, which is a designation that does not exist in the law anywhere, but can he just make up a name and call someone an enemy combatant and deny them prisoner of war status? Because, see, if you're a prisoner of war, then you have all sorts of rights and privileges and obligations and due processes that you are entitled to. But if you're just an enemy combatant, then Bush can basically do what he wants with you. And the other question that they were to decide was if it is okay to go ahead and call somebody an enemy combatant and deny them prisoner of war status, can the military tribunals at Guantanamo Bay, which is stolen Cuban land, by the way, that our military occupies and is holding a bunch of basically people who were kidnapped by the Northern Alliance and sold to the Americans being held there. And this court was to determine whether they could, first of all, call them enemy combatants, and second of all, if they can call them enemy combatants, can they go ahead and proceed with the military tribunals at Guantanamo Bay? Here's the punchline. This guy went to be interviewed by George W. Bush for his job on the Supreme Court the day before the opinion was issued. You dig that? Here's a court that's about to decide whether or not Bush can call somebody an enemy combatant and whether they can give them secret military tribunals where a simple majority can sentence somebody to death and never tell anybody about it. He called one of the judges in for an interview to be on the Supreme Court. Now, assume for a moment that anyone but the most purely dedicated to the law of, you know, any lawyer that ever existed was in that room. Any judge. I mean, is there a judge in America that doesn't have a lifelong ambition to sit on the Supreme Court? How are you going to, how could anyone issue a just decision in that case? He should have recused himself from it. The fact that he went ahead and ruled in the administration's favor after, the day after being interviewed for a spot on the Supreme Court lifetime appointment, that just reeks pretty bad. That's what the politicians, when they're guilty as hell, call the appearance of impropriety. And it's almost amazing, except somehow it's not quite, but it's almost amazing that they continue to get away with this. All right, everybody, it's the Intel Report. I'm Scott Horton, and we will be right back.
Are you one of the millions who have trouble waking up every morning? Hit the snooze a few too many times? Need that morning cup of coffee to get you started? Why not put a little spice in your morning with Gano Cafe? Gano Cafe, a healthy coffee, gives you energy and vigor, increases your focus and mental clarity. Gano Cafe helps the body heal itself, strengthen the immune system, and waste elimination for detoxification. If you're a coffee drinker, you won't believe the wonderful taste of this great coffee. Ganoderma, commonly known as the reishi mushroom, has been utilized in Chinese medicine for over 2,000 years. Also known as the longevity herb, miraculous king of herbs, it's more powerful than ginseng and has much lower caffeine and acid. To get your cup of great-tasting coffee, go to healthycoffeeonline.com or call 1-888-841-6055. That's 1-888-841-6055.
Can you grow your own nutrition on a shelf indoors in 10 days? Wheatgrass juice is live superfood, the richest nutritional liquid known to man, packed with amino acids, living enzymes, and over 100 elements. 2 ounces of juice have the same nutrition as 3 pounds of choice garden produce. Call 1-877-699-4328. That's 1-877-MY-WHEAT. The stamina, healing, blood building, weight control, and cleansing are just the beginnings of what you will reap from pennies worth of grain. For the book, seed, and the beautiful stainless steel hand crank wheatgrass juicer for $150 plus shipping. No monthly pills, no monthly bills. This is real self-sufficiency. Go to AustinWheatgrass.com or call toll-free 1-877-MY-WHEAT. That's 1-877-699-4328. And thank you for your support of our labors and of the RBN network.
The Berkey Light's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkey Light, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkey Light is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkey Light, the transparent water filter, for only $259 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. That's toll-free, 888-803-4438.
For Real Talk Radio, you're listening to the National Intel Report with your host, John Stadtmiller.
Hey, everybody, I'm Scott Horton, filling in for John Stadtmiller on the Intel Report. It's the Republic Broadcasting Network. I do the weekend interview show here on Republic every Saturday from 3 to 5 Central Time. And also, I write for antiwar.com, where I'm an assistant editor of some description, and got a bunch of bad news up on antiwar.com, and plenty of it to talk about with you today. But let's go ahead and talk to Jeff real quick. Everybody, anybody else wants to get involved on the air, it's 800-313-9443, 800-313-9443. How's it going, Jeff?
Oh, it's going all right. How's it going?
I'm doing just fine, sir.
Yes, now as far as this kangaroo court is concerned, now let me combine that with CAFTA. And I called up my congressman to tell him to vote against CAFTA, by
Good
the way.
You.
So I do what I can do. But let's say if FTAA passes, now let's take the World Court in the Hague, or the Hague, however you want to pronounce it. Now what would happen if you had a one big block? If you commit a crime somewhere, you can be tried in a world court with a kangaroo court, and it would not be under American law. In fact, the Supreme Court even looks to European law for their guidance to a degree.
Well, the world court, at this point, the world court has jurisdiction over disputes between nation states. So, like, for example, when the United States invaded Panama in 1988 for no good reason except that Manuel Noriega had cut Bush Sr. out of some cocaine profits, and they killed, oh, I don't know, a couple of 10,000 people for no reason. The World Court said, hey, you shouldn't have done that. That was against international law. That's the only jurisdiction they have, is about disputes between nation states, and then, of course, they don't have any enforcement power. Now, what could one day having end up having jurisdiction over your life, my friend, is the International Criminal Court. And the International Criminal Court, supposedly, its only interest is in prosecuting leaders of states when they commit war crimes. However, the structure of the International Criminal Court is such that they can make up whatever crime they want. And in fact, right now, they have already outlawed aggression, and they don't even have a definition for aggression. I mean, as though that's difficult, right? The initiation of force on someone. But
you're right.
You're right. It's absolutely a kangaroo court. There's nothing even near. I mean, you look at what a joke the American rule of law is. Rule of law, please. Our government goes around extorting and murdering whoever they like. There's no rule of law here. And you compare the rule of law, the International Criminal Court, to the one we got? Oh, forget about it.
Well, let me really put some flesh on this. You talk to most people in the street, and I'm talking about particularly the Northeast because that's where all the money's at. You talk to most people about all these things, they won't even know what you're talking about. That is the scariest thing of all, and this stuff is coming down the pike. And guess what? With a kangaroo court, what do they define as a terrorist? Aren't the most people what a terrorist is? Well, it's a guy named Muhammad Khalif Allah Akbar with a turban, a brown, and that's a terrorist. Well, you see, they could switch that definition overnight to a patriot.
Of course, a terrorist is anyone who is opposing the state that's doing the defining of who's a terrorist. I mean, any resistance, the Americans were terrorists. If you were King George, if you were George Washington, then they were freedom fighters.
One's terrorist is another one's freedom fighter. But the scariest hump is, people have been so dumbed down. There's a movie out called The Island where the clones in the movie are kept on the level of a 15-year-old. Well, that's where the maturity level of a lot of Americans are at,
yeah,
education-wise, and the newspapers are designed to be on a sixth-grade level.
Absolutely. Well, and I have bad news for you, Jeff.
What?
And that is that the UN reform plan that the Congress passed a couple of weeks ago, it was done by Republicans, and so they were talking all tough and saying, you know, if the UN doesn't start getting its act together, well, we're just going to have to pull their funds. Well, of course, that's just a scam. What they were really doing was saying, well, okay, what by getting their act together, what they mean is that the UN needs to expand its authority in this way, and that way. And, of course, everybody's always trying to reform the United Nations in one way or another. But,
well, you can't shine a turd. That's all I got to say.
Right. Well, in this case, besides just demolishing the building and kicking them all out, there's no reform good enough for me. But in this case, and this was all the anti-UN Republicans in the Congress fell for it, except for Ron Paul and a couple of people associated with him who could read through the lies. But this UN reform plan basically said that all nations on Earth are required to fight any terrorist group, and basically that the United Nations itself is required to intervene against any terrorist group in action. And what that really means, as you said before about, the terrorist and the freedom fighter, is that any group at war with their own government anywhere on Earth, it will now be the jurisdiction of the United Nations to put down that insurrection.
Exactly. What I see happening is people getting appointed. In fact, the John Birch Society wrote way back in 1995 in the New American about the UN invading the United States of America, and America being like Bosnia-Herzegovina, having infighting, racial infighting, and having to call in the UN. And that was way back in 1995 in the special UN 50th anniversary issue of the New American. And that is scary.
I'll tell you, Jeff, I'm not so much worried about United Nations forces coming in and taking over America. My biggest worry is America is taking over the whole world right now. Talk about violation of sovereignty. We're the ones doing the violating. And it is true that at the rate that our government is spending money that they don't have, at the rate that they're destroying our reputation among all of our former friends and allies and admirers all around the world, at the rate that They are just destroying wealth, turning it into bombs to destroy more wealth with. We are definitely headed over a cliff. And
really
now,
are.
Whether that's a deliberate setup for the fall or not, I really don't know. But I'll tell you, there is no UN army. The world army is the U.S. army. That is the army of the world. And the rest of the world, they don't have the money to set up the kind of world military that they would need to come and take over this country. We're the ones doing the taking over.
Well, the closing comment, the U.S. is being used as an engine, wealth transfer, which is a strict communist doctrine, where we're bringing up the third world countries to second world status, and we're bringing down our first world status to second world status. And we are being set up for a big fall. Mark my words.
I sure agree with most of that sentiment. And the funny part of it is, and thanks a lot for your call, Jeff. I appreciate it. The funny part of it is you don't have to bring America down to second world status to bring poor people up. I mean, this is really the problem with having government, is because nobody more than the people in the government themselves really believe in it. And they think that they're necessary, and they think that they must exist, and they base all their perceptions from that statist viewpoint. That, well, geez, we can't have America having all this wealth and everybody else is living on less than a dollar a day. That's sickening. Well, so what's their solution? To help everybody get rich? No. Their solution is to bring us down. And this goes back to economic fallacies that have been disproven for 300 years, my friends. Wealth is not a zero-sum game. If you ever talk with a communist or a hardcore left-wing revolutionary type, he'll say, once we get even with all them rich people and take all their money away, then we'll all have what we need. Well, no, that's not true. You go and take all the rich people's wealth away, you're going to have nothing. You're going to have just destroyed wealth. There's not a finite amount of wealth. Wealth is something, well, I guess there is eventually, but Earth is a pretty big planet compared to us, and there's plenty of wealth to be created, new wealth to be spread around. And it's the same thing that goes with this clash of civilizations against the Islamic world, too, where it's this whole East versus West, Islam versus Judeo-Christianity, blah, blah. It doesn't have to be that way. It doesn't have to be a clash at all. You want to get rich, trade with people. You feel bad about people in the third world starving to death. You see pictures of little kids with their stomachs all bloated because they're starving and haven't had a thing to eat. Trade with them. You don't hire the government to fix it. All the government's going to do is destroy wealth. And the idea that somehow America has to be brought down to the level of Mexico in order for things to be fair, like, hey, why not bring Mexico up to our level? Why not engage in free trade with them and work together in peace and prosperity? And, of course, what happens is you get a bunch of sick statists who co-opt my wonderful individualist, free market, libertarian rhetoric, and they use it to stab us in the back and try to ram through things like CAFTA and the Free Trade Area of the Americas, which, of course, are not free trade agreements. They may regulate toward less tariffs in some ways, but that's besides the point. They're not free trade agreements at all. They create new supranational governments. They create new regulatory bodies that are in charge of deciding who's allowed to have this much trade war against that country, and in what way can this country respond in kind. And they're there, I guess, to harmonize the trade wars around the world. They surely don't get rid of them. You want free trade in South America and free trade in North America and free trade between the two. All you need to do is repeal laws that restrict free trade. You don't have to pass a new law that creates a regulatory body. What you do is you repeal all the tariffs you got, and then you're done. You don't even need an agreement. A lot of times you'll hear a libertarian say, all you need is a one-line, one-sentence agreement. We agree to have free trade. But no, you don't even need that. All you need to do is stop interfering, and individuals are going to trade. And it's the misperception that pushes the rest of the misperception. There's no such thing as trade between America and China or trade between America and Mexico, unless you're talking about our government selling them weapons and that kind of thing. What you mean when you say that, that's really shorthand for trade between individuals in America and China. Trade between individuals in America and Mexico. And no government has the right to intervene in that. You want to pay me $15 to mow your lawn? Nobody's got the right to intervene in our contract. And it's the same thing with people in foreign states. And why this is not incredibly obvious to everyone in the world beats me. I'm Scott Horton. I'm filling in for Stat Miller on the Intel Report. We'll be right back.
Introducing the world's best air purifier, the Aeronizer. The Aeronizer produces high levels of activated oxygen right from the air you're breathing. It works the way nature does. It's so powerful it kills molds and mildews as well as bacteria and viruses in the air and on the surfaces in your home. Made in the USA of the finest materials with an unconditional 2-year warranty. Call 877-605-9200 or visit the website at www.aeronair.us.
If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
The Idaho Observer is one of the last independent American presses and isn't afraid to print the truth. The Idaho Observer is a monthly 24-page hard copy newspaper in its fifth year of addressing important issues affecting all freedom-loving Americans. If you are concerned about the burgeoning national debt and the Orwellian police state growing up around you, then subscribe to the Idaho Observer. Only $25 for 12 monthly issues. Idaho Observer readers receive vital insight into events as they unfold. Our articles editorially emphasize activism and serve as a networking tool for like-minded individuals determined to make a difference. The Idaho Observer, printing what you need to be fully informed on issues that matter to real Americans. Go to idaho-observer.com or call 208-255-2307. That's 208-255-2307.
Introducing the world's best air purifier. The Aeronizer produces high levels of activated oxygen right from the air you're breathing. It works the way nature does in cleaning and purifying the air in your home. Pet, cooking, cigarette, or even cigar smoke is no problem for this air purifier. It's so powerful it kills molds and mildews as well as bacteria and viruses in the air and on surfaces in your home. Made in the USA of the finest materials with an unconditional 2-year warranty. There are no moving parts to break, no plates to clean, and no filters to replace. Call 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200. Or visit the website now, www.aranair.us. That's www.aranair.us. Again, www.aranair.us.
Scott Horton. I'm filling in for John Statmiller on the Intel Report. I'm the host of the weekend interview show on Republic every Saturday from 3 to 5 Texas time. My archives in MP3 format are at weekendinterviewshow.com. Also, I write for antiwar.com, where I'm an assistant editor. And my most recent article up there was called Poisonous Misinterpretations about Suicide Terrorism. In my interview 2 weekends ago with Robert A. Pate from the University of Chicago, he wrote a book called Dying to Win, The Strategic Logic of Suicide Terrorism. And guess what he found out? Here, this guy did a study of every single individual act of suicide terrorism between 1980 and 2004. And here's what he found out. Are you ready? Occupation causes suicide terrorism. That's it. Big surprise, right? I know, you thought it was Islam, right? I know, they said on TV, yeah, well, it says in the Quran that you're supposed to kill people who aren't like you. Yeah, it might say that, but that's not why they do it. They do it because their countries are occupied. And you want, here's a nice little controlled experiment, so to speak. I mean, it's social science, not hard science. But You take a look at Hamas. Hamas has waged, I forget how many, but more than a few hundred suicide attacks against Israel. Now, Israel's backed by the United States to the hilt, and Hamas knows it. And Hamas, as part of their propaganda all the time, mention how it's so unfair that they are up against Israel that's backed by the United States from across the ocean. That isn't right. Now, how many times has Hamas bombed Americans? Ready? Zero. No times. Who does Hamas bomb? The Israelis. Why? The Israelis occupied their land. Now, Al-Qaeda. Al-Qaeda is at war against the United States. Al-Qaeda talks about Israel all the time. It's number two on their list of things that they're mad about. And they complain about the United States. That's what's wrong with the United States is they got taken over by the Israelis. And the darn Israelis are controlling the Americans and using them against us. Now, how many times has Al-Qaeda attacked Israel? That's right, zero times. They're interested in attacking America. Why? Because American combat forces are on the Arabian Peninsula. Period. End of argument. That's it. It's the occupation. And I know you're saying, but our troops are invited guests in Saudi Arabia. Okay, yeah, they are. But Saudi Arabia is a dictatorship, a kingdom. And 95% of people in a poll, you can Google this and find it, between the ages of 25 and 41 in Saudi Arabia, 95%, that's an absolute super-duper majority, say that they want American forces out. And so what does George Bush do? He moves them out of Saudi Arabia, giving a quote-unquote victory to Osama bin Laden and appearing weak, and yet to, which not that I'm against that. Of course, I think our troops should all be out of Saudi Arabia permanently. But here, in this case, what Bush has done is portrayed himself as weak and giving in to bin Laden. But what did he do with the troops? He moved them to Bahrain. He moved them to Qatar, which is still the Arabian Peninsula, which is still the land of the two holy places, Mecca and Medina, and yada, yada, yada. This is, according to Robert Pape, a distinction without a difference to Osama bin Laden. So we've shown him weakness, and yet we still haven't gotten rid of the motivation for the terrorist act against the United States, and that is our combat forces in Saudi Arabia. Which just goes, I could do a whole rant here about how every intervention begets the next intervention. How many of you remember in 1991 cheering for the first Gulf War? How many of us, of any of us, said to each other, you know, probably some Islamic militant people are going to get really mad that our troops are on Saudi Arabia, and they might end up doing something. No, it's, here's the consequences of our actions. Same thing's been happening ever since World War I. American forces go abroad and kill people and create a situation where only America can come to solve the problem that they've created. And that's true with Nazi Germany. That's true with the Soviet Union. That's true with Al-Qaeda. That's true with Saddam Hussein. And that's true with, you know, our next enemy to run Iraq. And it's just an absolute catastrophe. And speaking of catastrophe, I know somebody might say, what catastrophe? Why is it a catastrophe? Well, the San Francisco Chronicle this morning is reporting that the wars in Afghanistan and Iraq have already cost $314 billion. And now remember, this is Bush, the tax cutter president. So all this money is borrowed money. That, well, I want to have a war against Iraq, but where can I borrow $500 billion? I know. Hey, Alan Greenspan, can you create $500 billion out of thin air and loan it to monetize that debt and sell them bonds to China for me? And Alan Greenspan said, sure. So he created some bonds. He sold them to Chinese. Bush monetized it, spent it on war. $314 billion. And remember, folks, that is on top of the $450 billion per year military budget of the United States, which outweighs the entire rest of the world's military budgets combined. And now the Congressional Budget Office is projecting another $450 billion for the next 10 years. Yeah, okay, so let's see. It's been four, and it's cost $314 billion so far. And they're saying that after another 10 from now, it will have cost another $450 billion. Might as well triple that. And, you know, this is your wealth. This is your paycheck. This is the value of your home and the value of your business being mortgaged to invade countries that never even attacked us. I'm Scott Horton. I'm filling in for John Stattmiller on the Intel Report. We'll be right back after this break.
listening to Real Talk Radio. Only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Pain medication can't heal the cause of your pain, but what if the pain is so great as to make it unbearable without it? Listen to the results of one 44-year-old man.
My name is John Frey. I have fibromyalgia and was taking 12 to 14 Ultram tablets a day just to try to stay pain-free. I also had headaches, which would incapacitate me. I also had severe allergies and was dealing with arthritis, which set in after two compression fractures. After just 3 weeks on Cocoon GH, I noticed my pain was gone, and I no longer needed to take the Ultram anymore. My headaches disappeared, and my allergies are virtually gone. My energy level has increased, and I feel better today than I have in 15 years. My graying hair has also started to darken, and a bald spot on my head has started to grow hair again. My wife got on Cocoon GH, and after only 8 days, a lower back pain that she had suffered with for 14 years had gone away permanently. She no longer takes Celebrex. Thanks for such a wonderful product.
Satisfaction guaranteed. Call 888-988-6833. That's 888-988-6833. 988-6833.
Why continue to suffer from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people report improved health and wellness using Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolution frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions, and there are no side effects. Join others in discovering a return to natural health and wellness. Eliminate the cause. Don't just treat the symptoms. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto sequences for various health conditions and is very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call Alternative Technologies toll-free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. One more time, that's 866-885-6625.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription, plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49. Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
You're tuned in to the National Intel Report, the Real Talk Radio Show.
Hey everybody, I'm Scott Horton, host of the Weekend Interview Show here on Republic, filling in for John Statmiller. Hope everybody's enjoying the show. We're taking your calls on the air, 800-313-9443, 800-313-9443. And let me plug a couple of websites. Obviously, Republic is rbnlive.com. So if you're driving somewhere listening on your radio and you want to tune in when you get inside, go to rbnlive.com. You can listen live. And also, my website is weekendinterviewshow.com. I keep all the archives for you there in MP3 format. And also, I write for antiwar.com. And just in case I don't have time to get to it later on, I do want to go ahead and ask you please to go to antiwar.com today and read Our Rights Suspended for 10 More Years by Representative Ron Paul. He's one of less than a handful of congressmen in the House of Representatives who are actually worthy of respect. You can literally count them all on one hand, and Ron Paul is definitely number one there. So check out his article up on antiwar.com today, Our Rights Suspended for 10 More Years. For now, let's go ahead and go to the phones, 800-313-9443. First up is Mike in Maryland. Mike?
Hey, it's a pleasure talking to the show. I'm enjoying the show today.
Thank you.
Well, I listened to you earlier. This is how I spell Al-Qaeda. A-L-C-I-A-D-A.
Yeah?
And the person that wrote the book and the show, he sounds like a consummate insider. Was he like a former intelligence or?
Yeah, he's a former CIA guy. He now writes for the American Conservative magazine.
Yeah, okay, well, I mean, I consider the CIA a terrorist organization itself. I mean, that's what I think of the CIA.
Well, I don't necessarily object to that. What's your evidence that Al-Qaeda is Al-CIA-da?
I don't know.
I mean, I know that the Americans had a covert operation supporting the Mujahideen in the 1980s, but I haven't come across any evidence to say that bin Laden has been doing anything that we've told him since 89.
Well, let me read you this quote from a book here.
Okay.
Order Out of Chaos by Paul Joseph Watson, who does the website for Alex Jones. From July 4th through the 14th, 2001, Osama bin Laden was being treated for July 2001, several months before 9/11. He's being treated for kidney infection at the American hospital, Dubai, United Arab Emirates.
Well, but see, I've heard that report, and that was originally in Le Figaro. But then every other reporter who went to follow up on it found this little hospital where everyone there said, we don't even know what the hell you're talking about. Where it's this tiny little place, there's not even a back door, and every single person there denied it. So maybe they're all liars, but it's surely not proof of anything.
Well, this is there on multiple occasions. He met with CIA station chief Larry Mitchell. Bin Laden gave Mitchell precise information regarding an imminent attack on the U.S. This was originally reported by respected French Le Figaro and later picked up United Press International. Now, somebody's lying. Either Alex Jones' website master is lying or
well, I just told you, I read it in Le Figaro.
Yeah.
I'm not... Alex Jones' website stands on its own. Le Figaro reported that, and no other reporter on Earth was able to confirm it. Now, that doesn't mean it's not true,
yeah.
Okay? But what it does mean is that's not evidence that it is true.
Well, I believe that it is. But,
okay.
I mean, I question everything I see on TV.
I hope so.
And so, basically, our government created... The Taliban, we use them to do their dirty work in Serbia and other places. And I wouldn't doubt for a second that those beheadings that happened in Iraq were done by the CIA or MI5 or something like that.
Well, it's possible that at least some of them were.
There's,
some of that footage is pretty suspicious, but
yeah,
I wouldn't be able to say where it traces back to.
Order out of chaos.
Well, I'll tell you what, Mike. Alex Jones is hanging on the line right now, and I bet you he's going to want to discuss what you just brought up. So
okay.
I'm going to go ahead and let you go and bring on Alex Jones. Welcome, Alex.
Hey.
Is he there? Oh, here we go.
Sure, I'm right here. First off, that was also picked up by the Washington Times and a bunch of other people, but let me just be clear about...
Well, it was just one article reprinted. It wasn't... All the Washington Times said was that Le Figaro is reporting.
You said that the American hospital in Dubai doesn't even have a back door. It's a gigantic facility. We have photos and video of it in my new film, Martial Law. It's the nicest facility, it's the second most high-tech facility in all of that entire area. So, I mean, that's ridiculous, number one. Number one, you said it's a place that doesn't have a pot to piss in or a pot to throw it out of. Okay? So, number one, that's not true. Number two, our government admits publicly that they carried out terror attacks in 1953 to blame it on Mossadegh. That's in the encyclopedia. That is publicly admitted. They blew stuff up and shot clerics in Iran and blamed it on Mossadegh and handed out thousands of handbills saying, up with Mossadegh, up with communism. So there's an example right there. I just interviewed David Shaler, high-level MI5, who blew the whistle and went to prison for breaking his confidentiality agreement, where they paid hundreds of thousands of dollars to Al-Qaeda in 1998 to try to get them to kill Muammar Gaddafi.
Hey, Alex, can I ask you to do me a favor?
Yeah, there's your evidence right there.
Can you do me a favor and just kind of, like, stop yelling in my ear and just talk to me?
You know what? Well, some of us take this serious, Scott.
I'm taking it serious, too. Hey, why can we not just have a discussion without you screaming at me and shouting me down and trying to prove me wrong or whatever it is you're trying to do?
You know that's crap, what you said. You know that place has a back door.
No, actually, that may be true, but no, I didn't know that, and I'm not up here deliberately telling lies. If I was misinformed about that hospital in Dubai, then my bad. However,
you're not going to be giggling anymore when Bush sets nukes off. I just want you to know that.
Okay, but I don't understand why this is a whole you versus me thing, Alex. Why can we not just have a conversation without you being right and me being wrong?
It's not that, okay? discussion isn't about that. I'm driving along. I'm listening to you about an hour ago doing some chores. I get back in the car. It's the same stuff, Scott. I think you're a nice guy. I've known you for many, many years. It's not about us, okay? So if you think I'm attacking you personally, I'm not. What I'm telling you is that I can talk for 10 hours about the connections between Bin Laden. There are members of British Parliament that have gone public. German ministers that have gone public and talked about how it's a creation. The word Al-Qaeda is a CIA file in the CIA's ledger. I mean, there's so many examples of where these guys are handled and controlled by our government. There's, I mean, it is admitted, it has been in the BBC, you know, main front page, that MI5 and MI6 gave hundreds of thousands of dollars to Al-Qaeda in Britain to try to kill Gaddafi. That's 98. It's well known that our government gave money to Al-Qaeda-connected groups to attack the Serbs in the late 1990s. There are so many examples.
That is true. I've heard both of those things. However, and look, here's my point, Alex. And, you know, last time you called, we got into an argument about arithmetic and how long ago Northwoods was and that kind of thing. And all I'm trying to say is none of that really proves anything about September 11th. I mean, if you want to tell me, Alex, that governments blow themselves up to play victim all the time, I'm here to tell you you're right. Okay? But that doesn't prove that that is what happened on September 11th.
Okay.
It might be a clue.
Let me just say this. There, I don't have time to go into the 10 hours of this, but it has been proven that their official story is a complete and total fraud from one end of it to the other. But the main reason I called in was just on the subject of, you know, that snaky intelligence guy from one of these neocon groups telling us about how Al-Qaeda is controlled.
From the neocon group, he writes for the American Conservative, Paddy Cannon's magazine.
As far as I'm concerned, it's another neocon, just a little bit more watered-down version of it.
Well, maybe you're not certain what neocon means, Alex.
No, I know
neocon
what the neocon
means
are.
Former Trotskyite and Straussian turned right-winger in the 80s.
Yes, I know Strauss and all that stuff up in Chicago.
Right. So somebody who's been a Republican their whole life is not a neocon.
Well, listen, this is what I got to tell you. Another thing is I disagree with what Ron Paul's saying. My rights haven't been suspended for 10 years. I've got my rights. They're organic, and nobody's taking them away, and we're going to fight, and we're not going to be whitewashed, and we're not going to be controlled. We know the truth. We know what's going on. I hope people will visit Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com, and I hope that they will get the truth and learn the truth and find out what's happening, Scott. I hope you'll realize that we've got serious terrorists in control of this government, and they're using terror to get the job done.
Believe me, I agree about that. I just, you know, the thing is, I think you and I agree, really. I mean, hell, you and I have known each other since back in the day. We helped rebuild Waco together, all right? The fact is, Alex, I know exactly what kind of gangsters run this government just as well as you do. Where we differ is on specific points of evidence, and I really don't think that there's evidence to say that Al-Qaeda is Al-CIA.
No evidence. Hey, all you can do is say there's no evidence. I just spewed a bunch of it at
you. But what you spewed at me didn't make any concrete link between the CIA
really?
And Al-Qaeda at all.
Hey, Scott, if I wanted to, John wanted me to do a show. If I wanted to, I've been there every day this week and last week doing the shows. So I have a lot more time. I got to go. Okay, but the point is you can go on and run on at the mouth and do the stuff you're doing. Everybody sees through it. This is a more sophisticated audience. And simply sitting there telling us over and over and over again that I haven't shown any proof is pure bull. And I'm going to turn you over to the audience, and it's always good talking to you, buddy.
All right, take good care.
PrisonPlanet.com.
Yeah, Prison Planet. All right, so yeah, that's the deal. Someone who has, well, never mind. Over and over and over again. So anybody else wants to call and shout assertions and never let me respond to any of them, please feel free to go ahead and call in. It's 1-800-313-9443. I try my best to respond to any assertion thrown at me that I'm allowed to actually have time to respond to. Let's go ahead and talk to John in New York.
Hi, Scott.
Assert away, sir.
Pardon me?
I said assert away.
Oh, assert away. Well, you know, you do represent, in the first hour you were talking with Philip there, and it was like, well, it was like 9/11 wasn't a hoax. And, geez, they admitted it right on the C-SPAN 4 on, like, May 7th this year. Congressman Rutterberger said he was in Afghanistan calling in that 9/11 was going to happen to Condoleezza Rice, him and Julie Sears, a CIA agent, had that information actually obtained from Afghanistan. The Afghanistani Northern Alliance helped them get that. They told about it. The evidence, like, there's only a, what, 16 or 12-foot hole in the Pentagon. The information
Let's stop, and let's get to the hole in the Pentagon in a second. I don't know why all these assertions all have to be all tied together. What you just say about the prior knowledge, I'm actually not familiar with the particular people that you cited and the information that they gave. But that would coincide with the...
But you're representing
at least, well, hang on one sec. That would coincide with the at least dozens of different stories of agents from the FBI and the CIA, et cetera, trying to warn the politicians that there was an attack coming. I agree with that. I mean, I don't know the specifics of the case you're talking about, but of course there are dozens of cases of agents who were, you know, screaming and yelling and kicking and, you know, stomping their feet and demanding that someone pay attention to them, and attention was not paid. Now, if you want to talk about the hole in the side of the Pentagon, I'm afraid you're just wrong. The hole in the side of the Pentagon was plenty large enough for a plane. You just take a good look at it. It even goes up in the center where the fuselage was, and off to the sides where the engines hung. And, you know, the picture of the small hole that you're referring to, I've seen that picture, but that's a separate hole caused by, you know, I don't know exactly, I think the official story was one of the engines bouncing off and flying through there or something. But that wasn't the hole. That's a picture of a part of the Pentagon away from the damage that was caused by the plane crash, the main damage there.
Well, I'm good. I just have to disagree with that. I got the 9/11 commission report from the citizens from the Idaho Observer as a complete picture that doesn't show the plane and the explosion. Just the number of pictures that were withheld from the Pentagon. It's the most photographed place in the world, just like London's the most photographed city in the world, and you didn't see any pictures, at least right off. And the pictures that are coming out now are showing that they're not really real pictures, and they're saying, oh, the bomber might have pulled the trigger, and yet there's two bombs that didn't go off. They didn't have fingerprints, and they didn't have, if they had timers, how come they were worried about them pulling a trip switch or something?
Right. I thought we were talking about the Pentagon. If you want to talk about the Pentagon, I could tell you that I read G. Edward Griffin's massive report that he did, where he said all
pictures of motor parts that don't fit the motor parts of a 757. And I'm not an airplane mechanic, but I am a mechanic, and tell you they're not even specific to size.
Well, let me recommend that you go to freedom-force.org and go to G. Edward Griffin, author of The Creature from Jekyll Island, and read his report on burning questions about the Pentagon, and he goes through and shows exactly what parts those are and exactly what parts of the engine they correspond to, and et cetera like that. So anyway, I'm sorry, we're just not going to agree about the missile hitting the Pentagon today, my friend. Let's go ahead and cut to the next call here.
Right, thank you.
Thanks, John. Let's talk to Dale here in Texas. Dale?
Hey, can you hear me?
Yeah, you're on.
All right. Hey. First of all, I'd like to thank you for the show. You're doing a great job today.
Thank you.
The other thing is that I don't know if anybody's brought this up yet or not, but about 10 days ago, the Soviet Union and China and Iran have signed a pact.
Right.
To where they exchange military equipment and information. It was on all the Arab TVs, and a friend of mine just got back yesterday from Iran and was telling me all about it, you know, big fanfare and all that.
Right.
And that probably is why you hear these, quote, Air Force sources talking about, quote, battle plans to eliminate Iran, because that's just propaganda in order to keep the Soviet Union and the Chinese in check, you know.
Ah, now that's,
you know,
an interesting.
Saying?
Yes, that's an interesting spin. I see exactly what you're saying. Iran and China and Russia coming together.
Russia.
We're trying to scare the Russians off from getting close to Iran. That's a very interesting point.
Now, one other thing, okay, Alex kind of cut me off when I was trying to explain this to him. Let me explain to you. I've got a wristwatch radiac detector that came from a guy that was a tank commander, M1 Abrams tank. Okay, he spent a year over there in Iraq.
Okay.
Okay, I've got a radiac kit. When I run this radiation detector, which is worn on the wristwatch, or worn like a wristwatch, in front of my radiation kit, it shows zero radiation. Okay, today, with my radiac kit from the sun, we're pulling 1.5 rads, okay? And all this hype about DUs and depleted uranium and all that is just that. You need to check your sources to who's telling what, because the facts are different from what the reports are stating.
Hmm.
And all you're doing is you're undermining our country when these nanny wells come out and say, oh, DUs are going to kill our troops. Oh, DUs are doing this, that, and the other thing. You know, you need to make sure you're talking about facts and not propaganda. And no, Alex, I don't want to put DUs on my cereal.
Okay.
But I do know what depleted uranium is.
All right.
And I also know that in Amarillo, Texas, there's a place called the Pantex facility, which has more radiation in that one concentrated square mile than any place else in the whole United States of America. And the Chinese know that, too.
All right. Hey, thanks a lot for the call, Dale. I appreciate it.
All right.
All right. Hey, yeah, let's not make this the everybody versus Alex or the Alex versus me thing or anything like that. I'm not trying to play into that. So please, no more complaints about what you were or were not allowed to say on somebody else's radio show here. Melissa, welcome to the show.
You hear me?
Yes, there you are. How are you doing?
Oh, there I am. I called in the other day when you had J.D. Cash on because I don't particularly think he's telling the whole truth about things. And I would like to ask you if you could get Colonel Craig Roberts on.
Actually, sure. I'd like to.
Because he would be the one who I was listening to years ago talk about J.D. Cash and how he wasn't telling the whole truth and how he was running the same old line that everybody else was running. And it's a control factor that's going on.
Well, I understand what you're saying. And honestly, I think that the Oklahoma story is a bit more nefarious than J.D. Cash seems to. However,
right.
I haven't seen anything that would lead me to believe that he's intentionally being dishonest. And now maybe that's wrong, but really he's been the basis of a ton of good information about the Oklahoma bombing. And since the story has been continuously buried for 10 years, I really can't see the motivation on his part of spending all his time and energy leaking out a false story about the neo-Nazi involvement or what have you.
Well, not false.
When the real story is something else, I don't see his motivation because it's not like he's gotten rich and famous and a bunch of attention out of it.
Well, not so much as false as it just doesn't go far enough, will not touch certain subjects.
That's fair. That's fair.
You know?
I think I agree with you about that, in
okay.
fact.
So I would think that Colonel Craig Roberts is the one to bring forth a little light on that subject.
I'd be happy to talk with him.
Thank you.
Okay.
Bless
hey,
your heart.
Care. All
Bye-bye.
Right. All right. Hey, I'm sorry, Dylan. I skipped you. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Scott.
How are you?
I'm doing all right. I'm really glad to talk to you. I really liked your weekend interview show. I think your handle on Republican form of government is very succinct, very
okay.
real.
Thank you.
So I do respect you. I'm 35 years old. I was in the Air Force Reserve. I was a jet engine mechanic. I think anyone who's not a moron can agree that the terrorist acts performed by our government on 9/11 included confiscation of evidence and just destroying the crime scene. And that's terrorism right there. We all know that the crime scene at Oklahoma City, at the Twin Towers, and the Pentagon was all confiscated, could not be investigated. And that is a crime of treason and terrorism in itself.
Well, I'll go with you that it's a crime. I don't know about treason and terrorism, but it's definitely suspicious. In fact, as J.D. Cash pointed out on this show when I interviewed him last Friday, in Oklahoma City, they actually buried the miscellaneous unidentified remains of the dead with the material so that it could never be dug up without asking all 169 family all family members of all 169 dead people whether it was okay. So I mean, they're definitely working to cover up there in Oklahoma City. And as far as the World Trade Center and the Pentagon, they very well may have been covering something up, but I don't understand what would really be the point of covering up.
We don't have access to the evidence. We didn't have access to the crime scene. No investigation was conducted. That is the cover-up.
Well, but it's always the government that does the investigating. I mean, what do they expect, to let the militia movement second-guess their investigation? They're the state. They got the final word on everything. You know, who? I mean, who, if it wasn't a conspiracy, who in government is going to open up the investigation to anybody who wants to come on in? They're the state. They get the job.
Let's talk evidence, Scott, about simple evidence. I sent you an email. I understand you're a busy man. I understand you didn't send me a response, but I sent you an email. As I said, I was in the Air Force Reserve, and let me explain a couple of things about exhaust coming out of the back of jets. The only film footage we have of anything at the Pentagon was a few clips, and we see a white cloud right at ground level. Okay, that does not come out of a jet. That comes out of a rocket. There is no photographic evidence of any large aircraft, but we do have photo evidence of a trail like would come out of the back of a rocket.
Okay, well, I've seen the pictures, the few frames that you speak of, and I can't say that I've noticed
white,
I'm not looking at it right now.
White vapor does not come out of the back of a jet at ground level. Doesn't happen, Scott.
That's fine. I didn't say it did. What I said was I haven't noticed the white trail myself.
I'm sorry for yelling at you, too.
It's okay.
I feel very strong about this, see, because
I understand. I kind of do, too. I feel strongly that a lot of people are chasing their tail about a missile hitting the Pentagon when the fact is there's four planes missing.
We have photographic evidence of a missile operation on the premises.
Okay.
All the photographic evidence we have points to missile operation.
Okay, well, you know, I talked to Greg Palast, and he's friends with Thierry Messien, the Frenchman who made all this stuff up. And Greg Palast told me specifically.
I don't know what you're talking about. I was an aircraft mechanic. Coming out of the back of a jet at ground level, it's practically invisible. There is no white stuff coming out of the back of the jet.
I agree with that. I agree with that.
At ground level.
Okay, man. All right.
Well, I'm not going on other people's shit. I'm sorry. Excuse me. Excuse my French.
All I'm saying is this whole story originated with a guy who's a complete fraud, Thierry Messien.
I don't care about him. I'm telling you who I am. I know that jets don't operate that way and rockets do. And also, you mentioned about the photos of the hole. No. I dare you to show me a photo of that smaller hole when any other holes exist. There is no other big hole.
Go to freedomforce.com.
I know about airplanes. I know about physics, okay? If a big airplane like that crashed into the Pentagon at 400 miles an hour, there would be a heck of a lot more damage. It would have destroyed half the Pentagon.
All right, well, G. Edward Griffin, who's my favorite conspiracy theorist of all time, did it. Thanks a lot, dude. G. Edward Griffin, who's my favorite conspiracy theorist of all time, did a massive study, including photographs of the side of the building and a massive hole, and yes, before the roof collapsed, a massive hole where that plane was, and unless G. Edward Griffin is Al CIA to two, I'm going to go ahead and error on the side of Ed Griffin. Pokey, my old friend, welcome to the show.
Hey, Scott.
Hey, how you doing, man?
Oh, it's good to hear you. You're doing a great job. I love Alex. We don't always agree on things. And you didn't have people like that last caller out. And, you know, we ain't always got time to talk, but it's good to hear you. I've been real busy myself down on the border.
Hey, send me an email. Send me an email, scott@antiwar.com.
Scott@antiwar.com. Yeah, we'd like you to come down the border with us. You know, me and Jesse have been down there many times.
I miss you guys, man. I'd love to see you guys again.
Yeah, I'd like to see you too. Great job, Scott.
All right, take care, Pogie. All right, everybody, this is the Intel Report. Sorry to all those who were shocked to learn that I don't think a missile hit the Pentagon. I hope you can still sleep well tonight. Like I told Pokey, my email is scott@weekendinterviewshow.com, so feel free to send me a million emails. I'm expecting them. And I'll be up this Saturday, 3 to 5 Texas time, on the Weekend Interview Show.
In America, we value our liberty. But there's a new movement quietly being pursued by politicians that will take away our precious freedoms. It's been deceptively named the Free Trade Area of the Americas, or FTAA. Proponents claim that their objective is to promote trade by removing barriers between the countries of North and South America. In reality, the FTAA is a raw power grab. It will lead to a new government over the entire Western Hemisphere. This super government will steadily take away America's rights, our Constitution, even the freedoms that we love so dearly. Protect your freedoms. Go to stoptheftaa.org. Then let Congress know that the FTAA is not an option for America. Stoptheftaa.org and keep America free.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.